We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I'm reading about four verses from the 37th Psalm. I'm skipping at this time the 36th, but I want to talk to you about these verses today. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now here, these four verses, I want you to notice them. Now first, to whom were they addressed? Now always stop to ask, to whom is God talking in the Bible? Sometimes he's talking to sinners. Sometimes he's talking to individual Christians. Sometimes he's talking to Christian groups. Sometimes he's talking to a nation or a race of people. Now here in the Old Testament, the psalmist David is addressing Israel. That's the government of Israel. Now the promises of God to the Jews were earthly promises. The promises to the church or the body of Christ or the saints or to save people in this dispensation, all the promises are heavenly promises. Now, keep that clear, then. Our promises are heavenly promises. Now, we are told that we'll have hardships and persecution in this world. We are told that our way will not be an easy way, that our road will be a hard road. We are told, as Christians, that our citizenship's in heaven, see? That our citizenship's in heaven. You know, it's a strange thing about some Christian people. They want to take all the blessings that God promised the Jews and leave all the curses that God said he'd put on the Jews on them, see? That's peculiar, isn't it? Christian people want to take the blessings that God promised them, but let them keep the curses that God said would follow them if they didn't live right. That's peculiar, isn't it? It's strange how we don't rightly divide the word of truth. Now, David is saying to Israel, his government, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You're surrounded by nations, people, not living right. Don't be worried about that, he said. Don't be all upset and fret yourself. They'll talk about you. They'll persecute you. They'll misrepresent you as a race. They'll say things untrue about you. But don't fret yourself about that. Don't let that disturb you. Now, he said, don't be envious of the workers in either, the workers of iniquity. You know, it's a strange thing about some of us Christian people. We've ceased to be envious of the workers of iniquity and become envious of the workers of the good things. That's one of the curses of this day. So many people call themselves Christians will envy an institution that succeeds without their help. Or they'll envy a church down the street that's prospering and being blessed of God because it may not be their denomination. Or sometimes even it is their denomination. And that the pastor now they're more popular. You know, we're inclined to envy good people and good things, see. But he was telling me not to be envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't be envious of that crowd. You belong to God. You're a race of people, a nation of people that are on God's side. And don't you be all upset about that. Now then, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now that's not addressed to Christian people. It's a good verse. God quotes it to us, and it's all right. All scriptures give me inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's all profitable. But notice what he says here now. He's talking to Israel. Trust in the Lord, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, that was a promise that God made them, that David is stating again. When they went out of Egypt, there were 600,000 men, not counting women and children. The Bible said there wasn't a sick one in the crowd, a feeble one in the crowd. God said, I'll keep diseases away from you. I'll keep all these things away from you. I'll protect you. The diseases and conditions that surround the people and the other lands around you, I'll preserve you from them. And you, all you have to do now is to live right. Be true to me. Don't take on any of that gods and don't fall for their temptations and their religious systems and their paganism and heathenism. You move into that land now. You are my people. You testify to one God now and be a repository for my truth. And if you live right, now God never told Christian people they wouldn't be sick. Paul was sick. Went to the Lord three times and asked to have the thorn taken out, and God left the thorn there to prick him. Looks like God would have pulled a thorn out, wouldn't he? But he didn't. He said it's a good thing for Paul to have a thorn. Why, you take the book of James, where God called them together there and told them in the book of James that if any of you are sick, call on the Lord and elders of the saints, anoint him with oil and water, and they'll be healed and answer prayer. Do you know to whom that's addressed? It's a Jewish group of people. It's to the tribes scattered abroad that were Christians, had become Christians. Now, the Holy Ghost was God, too. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And this promise came on in there to them. That was a reminder that Jesus was the Messiah. Holy Ghost was God, though he was unseen since he'd gone. Now, the Lord doesn't always heal sick people. That's the biggest mistake ever known. It isn't in the Bible. You say it's always the Lord's will to heal. It isn't so. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I've been healed and answered to prayer. I know a lot of Christians have been healed and answered to prayer, but I know the holiest saints I ever knew in my life, that God Almighty let them be sick and gave them the grace they needed to bear their sickness. You see, all of this talk is just talk now. That's all. It's just, it isn't so. It just isn't true. It isn't in the Bible. The Bible doesn't state it. It's a false position. Now, God doesn't promise us saints that we're going to always even be fed. He doesn't promise us we're going to always dwell in the land. That's not a promise to Christian people. Why, I've seen the most wonderful Christians in the world that have been persecuted, that have been refugees in their own land. When I was in Athens, Greece, years ago after World War I, the sweetest Christians you ever saw had been persecuted and brought out there in hunger and poverty. Now, let's understand that. Now, all that God told a Christian is this, that no good thing will he withhold from a man that walks upright. And he says that we may know that all things work together for our good. See, to our good. To the good of those that love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for our good. Why, some of us know that persecution's been good for us. Opposition's been good for us. Suffering's been good for us. Sorrows have been good for us. We didn't understand, but as time went on, we can see how the hand of God was laid gently on us by sorrow when we thought it was a hand maybe of cruelty and didn't understand it, you see. Now then, let's not take things that don't belong to us away from anybody else. Now someday Israel's going to be restored. They have a government there now. And the time's coming back when Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. And when that day comes, then all of this thing will be fulfilled there. It could have been fulfilled before, but it wasn't, but will be now. Now, notice this last verse that I read. Now, this verse, the principle is always true. This principle applies all through the Bible and all through the history of the race in the lives of all people that love God. Now, here it is. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, doesn't that seem strange? He doesn't promise you won't be sick. He doesn't promise you won't have sorrow. He doesn't promise that you won't go a little hungry sometimes. Paul went hungry. Paul went hungry. He said so. Yes, he knew how to abound, how to be abased. He knew all about it. He didn't promise that. Well, how can it be now? How can this be that the Lord's given me the desires of my heart? Well, I'll explain it to you. Don't you pray the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you mean it? You do. Well, if you mean it then, what do you want? You want the Lord's will in your own life, don't you? Yes. Well, all right. Then you're getting what you want, aren't you? Getting the desires of your heart, aren't you? If you're a Christian. If you say, now, Lord, let thy will be done in my life. Help me to be a faithful Christian. Help me to love you and to be true to you. Let thy will be done in my life. That's the prayer of a Christian heart. Thy will be done in my life. We know his will about some things. We know it's his will to forgive sin. We know it's his will to give us divine guidance. But sometimes we're not just sure. And so we say, thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. That was a prayer of Jesus in the garden. All right. Now, if you pray that prayer and mean that prayer, then you're going to get what you want. You'll get the will of God. Now, it's a wonderful verse. Used to bother me. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It doesn't mean you get the man you think you want to marry. Maybe you want the wrong man. Maybe the Lord knows more about it than you do, see? Lord, give me this man in whom I delight. Well, maybe it isn't the Lord's will at all. Maybe that's not what the Lord wants. You know, a woman one time talked about how she prayed God to send a baby to home, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and one day God sent a baby. And the most deformed baby you ever saw in your life. She got a baby, see? See? It might have been better if it said, Lord, if you don't want me to have a baby, I will be done, not my will be done, see? Strange about people. Now, this verse is true, definite and clear. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, that fits all people of God under all circumstances and all conditions to the end of time. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you want the Lord's will in your life. That's what you want. You want what he wants for you if you delight yourself in his will and in him. All right. Now, the thing for you to do is to come to God, having trusted him as your Savior, and tell God, now, here's my life. Take it. Have thy way with me. Let thy will be done. Whatever you want, let that happen. I trust you. I lean on you. I look to you for guidance and help. And, oh, how good he'll be to you. And everything that comes to you will be a good thing. You'll not have to worry about it. Lord will take care of you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for such a good Heavenly Father. A Father that pities his children like earthly parents and comforts like mother's comfort. A wonderful God, so loved us when we were sinners, he let his Son die for us. How wonderful our Father is. How we thank thee, our Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes we've been stubborn children. We want our way, and we didn't always delight in thy will, and we ask thy forgiveness. Help us to delight ourselves in thee, long for what thou wouldst have us have. And if we so delight and so long and are so surrendered, then we know everything will turn out according to thy will and purpose. For we have a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost that dwells in our bodies. Keep us faithful in everything. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.